Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, industrial action, formal apologies, and a Castletown favourite. To try and give you a taster of this, and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound's Jess Ward.
Hello.
Sam Turton.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
How are we all? Jess, good week?
Yeah, it's been solid. It's been a solid week.
You always throw them when I ask that question. Like, I don't know how many times.
It just, like, merges into one and I'm, like, struggling to find out what I've actually done in the week. It just flies by.
So, a solid 7, because you can't remember anything about it.
No, I try to block it out, you know. Just keep going.
On that happy note, Katie, good week?
Yeah, I was saying to producer Emma before, the week's flown by, but every day has dragged.
Isn't that just a summary of January?
Yeah.
Pretty much, because I feel like we're nearly at the end of January, and I feel it has gone quite quick, because it only just seemed like yesterday that we were New Year and Christmas specials, we recorded.
Yeah.
But now we're obviously nearly in February, so it's sort of like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Where's this week gone? What's been done?
But you're on holiday again soon.
Yes, next week, hopefully. Touch wood.
Why are you touching wood?
It's always good.
Okay.
Always good. Touch some wood.
So you live... Right?
I knew you were going to say it. I could see it coming.
Always good when you touch wood. If you take anything from this week's podcast, let that be your mantra for life. Katie, so when do you go away? Next Friday, is it?
Next Thursday night.
So you're going to miss... Oh, so you'll be here for next week's podcast?
Yeah, I will have to check what time the flight is.
Okay.
But I think it's after we record.
So you're going direct from Ronald's Way to Bolivia?
Yep, the new La Paz direct flight they brought out, yeah. It's a horrible 24-hour journey, which is like... Isle of Man, Manchester, Charles de Gaulle in Paris, Peru, Bolivia.
Wow.
Whoa.
All the places.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Clocking up the air miles there.
Yeah, destroying the planet.
Sam, good week?
Yeah, that's right.
You look less dishevelled than last week because you've had a shave, but I don't know if I like it because you look like about 12.
Taken 15 years off you.
Yeah, Julie came back and she just... couldn't stop laughing for a solid 5 minutes.
What? She exactly read the code of conduct.
No, not yet. She's not signed it yet. No, she just said, Sam looks 12, and they just couldn't stop laughing.
Now, you do look like a 12-year-old that's had quite a long career round.
Not one of our distributors.
No, because all yours are
over 13
and very, very well monitored.
Yes.
You still got that weathered look, but just a young weathered, like a young fisherman's friend, as opposed to an old one.
Yeah, okay.
So how was your week apart from this roasting you're receiving at the moment?
Cold, to be honest.
Cold?
I hadn't noticed the wind on my face in months.
Oh, okay.
But it really, it's really quite alarmed me how cold it is for the rest of you people.
Should we get you a balaclava?
I was considering it, yeah.
Maybe do a couple of bank jobs.
Could do with the money coming on, let's face it. I mean, Jess, you know what it's like. You get rid of your beard.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Suddenly just
it
cold,
just goes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not nice.
Is the beard coming back then? Is
that yeah.
That's the top tail. Are you going to maybe play with the style a little bit, or is it just going to be the old Wurzel gummage you had last week?
Yeah, it'll probably just be, my attempts of trying to present a functioning human being, but yeah. It'll probably
as you were in that sentence.
It's been a long week, yeah.
Obviously. Right, Casey, we've had some posts this week, haven't we?
We have. This is the first time ever our post has been cleaned with antibacterial wipes when it's arrived.
Okay, do you
after
want to explain
we all handled it.
Do you want to explain a bit further?
Yep, so it was, and we're very excited to receive this. So we got this, I think, on Wednesday morning, and it is a postcard from Bangkok in Thailand, and it is from one of our friends of the programme, Jonathan from Andreas.
There he is, the man that helped us with our seagull hunting.
Yes.
Pink seagull hunting.
And he's sent us a postcard in the past as well.
Yep.
So he's put, hello from the City of Smiles. I am on holiday with my 75-year-old... Sorry, there's a bit coming up which makes me laugh and it shouldn't. I'm on holiday with my 75-year-old mother in sunny, Thailand. We have been exploring and adventuring around the city before we set off tonight to Phuket. Had a great night out last night. Stop it, Sam. On the... I'm so sorry. The Koh Samro?
Right.
Okay. And I can remember it this time as nobody spiked my drink with ketamine.
Oh.
Sorry.
So dramatic.
Much street food was eaten and literally buckets of alcohol were drunk, all chased down with scorpions and crocodile. Looking forward to breathing our nice fresh air again, but not missing the cold. Yours, Jonathan and Mum.
I think that's probably going to be one of the
best. It's one of my favourites that we've ever had.
Yeah. So Jonathan has also been in touch via email.
Later on that day. So we were saying this is the quickest a postcard's ever arrived to us.
Because it was only sent on the 23rd, wasn't it? And we got it, did you say Wednesday?
I think it's because he does use the correct stampage. His, so.
Well, he's learned. He's learned from the Glasgow experience, hasn't he? About 6 days. But he has been also in touch electronically on the old
email. Yeah, that's right. I got an email from him yesterday saying that he is trapped over in Thailand. The airline has said they're not going to fly him and his family out because of what's happening over there with the coronavirus. It's some worries.
But the insurance won't pay out, so they say it's an act of God.
Well, they said that they don't cover flights because of like infectious diseases coming out. So I need to find out more about that because it just sounds insane. So he says that because he's trapped over there, it's been a bit of a downer to his good trip, and they went to go and get some face masks at the chemists, but they've all been sold out because everyone's obviously going a bit crazy and buying them. And so he said they've had to rely on the ones that his mum has bought him, which are Hello Kitty themed.
But I liked it in his email to you. It's like, we are both safe and stylish.
Yes! And that was so good.
But he sent a picture, didn't he?
He did, yeah. So we'll have to share that on our social media. But it's incredible. I asked if we could get a selfie of him, if he could take a selfie. And there he is with his mum on a beach wearing Hello Kitty masks.
Wasn't there one of them in his motorbike sidecar as
well? Yes! So he sent me another photo. And they're in a sidecar motorcycle. And it's pink.
Wow.
And it's him and his mum.
With the mask on as well?
No, that would have been like icing on the cake. But
yeah, too much pink.
All
right, well, Jonathan, you're going to keep in touch with Jonathan. Hopefully he will be back this side of the...
Fingers crossed it's
the world
all
soon.
Plain sailing. He did say that they have booked tickets via another airline, so we'll see how it goes.
Exciting stuff. Will he be all right to arrive back here? There's not going to be any repercussions of people travelling in from that part of the world.
Well, presumably he'll be screened when he lands in the UK. You reckon the main area, though, is still in China, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's in Wuhan. It's the health director over here in the Isle of Man said that that's what they're mainly concerned about, is people who have been in that area specifically. Yeah. But it has spread, so I don't really see how...
Well, it's definitely a story that's developing, and I'm sure if it ever comes here, we'll have a contingency plan, health and safety care. We might have to all work at home. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We'll have... producer Emma already has a mask.
Does she?
Yes.
Oh, really?
And we're starting a new regime where at 5:20 every afternoon we will antibacterial wipe our desk stuff.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Do you fancy doing mine?
No.
Do you have hand sanitizer?
Yes, and we have those wipes.
All right, I'm not going to name names, but we do have a member of staff whose desk could be said to be a health and safety issue already.
Mm.
Now, do we... pray that actually somewhere amongst that is the antidote to this and just let it crack on, or do we then encourage that person to get involved with this 520?
Who is it? Is it over in your corner of the room?
No. So what do we think?
I think just burn it.
Just burn it with fire.
Kill it with fire.
Okay, that's a bit more extreme than anti-backing, isn't it? Right, on to this week's stories, starting off with you, Sam, and of course, one of the main stories this week is about the potential industrial action by teachers, and now they've actually agreed they're going to do something, aren't they?
Industrial action started today.
Right, in what form? It wasn't a strike, was it?
No, they've stopped short strike, although, for instance, the National Association of Head Teachers do have a mandate for a strike.
Right.
Their members said they would go as far as striking. They're not going to meetings with the department. They're refusing to carry out basically orders that they get from the department, and they're essentially working to rule as well on various different things. But their whole thing is that it's stuff that will affect the department, so you won't see a difference in terms of the teaching quality.
But this was decided at a meeting the other night, wasn't it? that you were in privy to?
Yeah, it was in Braddon Church, which is a weird place for a meeting, because everything, like, all the, every, like, union spoke at the start, at the
Well, that's one of the things I was going to say, how many, there are several different unions.
Yeah, this has got, there's three who are in dispute and have all become unified, right, in the sense of that they're all got a joint policy on this, yeah, and what they're doing. The fourth union, the NEU, is the one which actually had a deal with the department, but then their members rejected it, right, 2-1, I think, was the vote. So you've got this weird situation where the department has managed to create unity amongst teaching unions, which, right, the ones from across are saying, that just never happens.
So what's the main grievance that the teachers have at the moment?
Variety of things. There's problems with the education bill, which is getting kicked through Tim Woodward at the minute. Kicked through is probably the right word for it, because it's been kicked out once before.
Mm-hmm.
It's also got problems with paying conditions. Teachers are basically saying that they want, that their pay in the UK would be better than it is here because of the cost of living and various other things. So they want to be put on this. They basically want a higher pay rise.
Right.
And they're saying the past 10 years, teachers haven't had a pay rise and they want one. Which, you know.
And what are the departments saying about this? Are they moved to make any talks?
Their argument is that there's a policy of how teacher pay rise is decided, and it's based on they use the UK formula, which is what the department's been trying to do all along. The teachers have gone, well, there's two different things in the UK, and there's been a split in them. The teachers say we want the higher one, the department tried to give them the lower one. But then the department with the NEU moved to this thing called London Fringe, which is teachers who are not in the centre of London. They want to move on to that pay scale and remove the lower two levels teachers, which put more than 30 grand to start with, which has been rejected. But you had like 400 teachers on Tuesday night at this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a small thing. And it'd be interesting how far it goes, but the most interesting thing about it was they had a vote of no confidence.
In the department?
Not just the department. They have no confidence in the department, which passed just about, but they had a unanimous vote for no confidence in Minister Graham Cushing.
Oh, right, so it's become almost a personal...
Yeah, well, I think there is an element of personal in this. There's definitely personalities in it involved. And the thing with... he's already said he won't resign from this. But then the unions have said, well, we're not getting anywhere with you. They've asked Chief Minister Howard Quayle to get involved. He says, we have experts for this. The unions have said the experts aren't very good at this. So it's a bit of tit for tat at the minute.
So do you think we'll get to a point where the only way to resolve this is for the teachers to not actually go out and strike and not turn up into work?
I think the problem they've got is that the teachers, I don't think, will go on strike this year now. I think it would have to be September, because I don't think they're willing to put exam results at risk,
yep,
which at the end of the day is what would happen.
And they'd risk losing the goodwill of the public as well, isn't it?
I don't know with that one. I think it's a weird one, this one, in terms of how people would read it, because it's a bit... I think people realise there are a lot of problems in government. Of course, this isn't the only dispute they've got. They've also got problems with Unite on the buses.
But there's if you want to keep up to date what's happened so far, that's in both the Isle of Man Examiner and Manx Independent this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we've had updated stuff on the website as well. It's one of them stories that is going to keep coming round and round, because it's going to keep developing,
yeah,
as we get closer to a resolution.
Right, Jess, sticking with the government, so there was a bit of a historic moment in the Keys this week.
Yeah, it was really significant. It was Chief Minister, so that's Howard Quayle, he gave a formal apology for Ireland's former laws against homosexuality and the lives that they've ruined, which is, yeah, quite damning, really. This was during the moment when the MHKs passed the Sexual Offences and Obscene Publications Bill, and it's basically him saying there's an automatic pardon for those who've made, like, they had, like, homosexual activities during the time when it was illegal to do so. Mm-hmm. Those laws were changed, however, in 1994, so it's quite recent.
Yeah.
It's a bit shocking, really, isn't it? He said that he acknowledges that the former misguided and unjust laws probably led to some people taking their own lives.
Wow.
So it just goes to show how severe it was. He said, "We will never know the hurt our past laws may have inflicted on our own people." So he says that the island has to keep working on banishing all forms of discrimination and injustice, and that he hopes that the government can make forward steps with the LGBT plus community.
And one of the big campaigners, Alan Shea, was in the Keys on Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that must have been quite a poignant moment for him.
He famously appeared Tim Walday in the black and white concentration camp uniform, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, it was a Marks and Spencer pair of pyjamas that he made to look like a Holocaust kind of uniform. And that was in 1991 when he went and protested against the homosexual laws that were like making it illegal, and so he said before that has been a very much a long awaited apology.
So what did he say this week? He said it's sort of time to
heal, move on, isn't it? Yeah, that's right, because you know it's affected that community so much. It's still got its presence there, and I don't know how long maybe that will take to heal.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, this week's sports story. I'm sure you've all been looking at the back of this week's Manx Independent, and it's about the Isle of Man's Rugby Sevens team. Now, it was formed last year, and it's from the under-18s age group, and they went away and played a few tournaments and did pretty well. One at Roslyn Park, which is in London, and it's one of the biggest in the world, and they actually got on to, it was streamed live on the internet, one of their matches and stuff like that. And this year they're going to do the same again. They're actually going to Portugal in February for the European tournament. So they've sort of expanded their programme a bit. But the big takeaway from the launch of the squad last week was they've got big plans and they hope to have a Isle of Man senior rugby sevens team in the 2030 Commonwealth Games. So Chris Brannigan, who's the rugby development officer at the moment and the director of rugby of the under-18 squad, he was saying, oh, people might think I'm a bit mad suggesting this, but he said in the past, since 2010, Guyana, Barbados, Sri Lanka, and a few other, what you call maybe not so recognised rugby nations have competed in the Commonwealth Games. We said, why not the Isle of Man? Yeah, so the point at the moment is that they're trying to make a foundation with the under-18 squad and then build on that and take it forward. He said, hopefully, it will encourage kids. He says between the ages of 15 and 19 is the biggest dropout in the sport. So he said if they've got this big goal to aim for, they'll hopefully stay in the sport and continue it forward. He also said it will hopefully give kids also something to aspire to.
Definitely.
Yeah, so it was quite an interesting piece in the 6 months. If you do say so myself, because I did write it myself. I must also say, cracking buffet they put on at the Sports Institute last Friday. Lots of John Madrill been in his element. There's about 10 different types of sandwiches, sausage rolls, chipolatas.
Oh, they know how to throw a party at the rugby.
John Madrill's had a good week, actually, because he went to an event where the community, the Chinese community, were celebrating Chinese New Year, and he got some free
takeaway.
Yeah, so sweet.
Yeah, he was there.
At first, he was like, he gets a bit grumpy when it's a bit late, and he's like, no. And I'm like, they might give you some food, Madrill. And then he's like, I suppose I could go.
He went, came away with a banquet.
Yes, that's it.
This Week in History, Sam, we go back to a wartime paper, actually, and the Isle of Man Examiner of the... I've lost the date. Oh, there we are. Friday, February the 2nd, 1940. Lots going on this front page, mate. I can see why you've scribbled all over it with your highlighter that you've got quite a lot to get through this week, so I'll let you crack on.
Yeah, let's start off with what... So this is 1940, so we're about 3-4 months into the war from this point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at... I think the easy one to start off with is Serviceman Smokes.
Yeah.
Which is... This was a campaign to raise money to send cigarettes to Manxmen fighting on the front lines.
That's amazing. Can you imagine us doing that now?
No.
What? I think my favourite... This is the series, £400.
That's a lot of money in 1940. Yeah.
So what I like about it is that it goes, we're anxious that every Manxman serving in the Navy, Army and Air Force should get a supply of cigarettes this time, and it will be the fault of their relatives and friends at home.
So they are guilt-tripping them for not having their own fags.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's quite remarkable, actually. But they said about 1,200 parcels were sent at Christmas.
Do we reckon that's 1,200 packs? Or do we think that's like... I can't really use
carton,
smoke. Cartons.
Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It just says 1,200 parcels sent here. But less than 12 didn't get there.
That's pretty good going. If we think about all of our postcards that we've never got.
That's a better percentage.
Yeah, percentage is probably higher.
Right,
so what else caught your eye this week, Sam?
Right, we're going to have a quick thing. We've got a picture of a train stuck in the snow.
Yes, I've seen this picture before.
Very weird in black and white.
Yeah. I would. So
it's a bit really dark, yeah.
So did you see where it says it? It was at the Peel Road station, so it's probably not a million miles from where we're sat now. Yeah. But you couldn't picture that. It looks like in the middle of the countryside, doesn't it?
It's so different.
So it was a snow... Obviously, it hit the island in February 1940, and this is the Sutherland. I don't know how they could tell, because it's absolutely caked in snow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hitting a snowdrift on Peel Road. But what I think, obviously, they've kicked off from Douglas, thinking, oh, it's not that bad. And then got only a few miles down the road and ground to a significant halt.
What is funny is the fact that it's just that. There's just the train there. There's nothing, yeah. Or the locomotive, there's nothing else.
And there's another snow pitcher down the bottom, isn't there, Sam?
That's the same. It's just taken. This is why I think it must be somewhere of a bridge, because that looks like it's taken a bit higher up.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a bridge, obviously, Paul Rose Bridge. Mm. So maybe it's behind this very building.
Maybe.
Quick scan around. We have the Ireland's education budget was set at 108,000.
That's an education. Big topic. Always been.
Teachers were taking 2/3 of it. Their pay was good them days. But it was. I looked this up. 108,000 is about 6.97 million today.
Right.
The budget for the net spend on education on the Ironman from 19 to 20 was 107 million.
Bloody hell.
So.
Inflation.
Yeah. Things have jumped. Last couple of bits. There's three more bits, actually. This is my favourite one. It's stealing from automatic machines.
Yeah, I saw that.
So this is a bunch of lads who made their own.
Mullet bands.
Lead. They made lead coins, and they were putting them into cigarette machines.
And then getting, were the cigarettes then passed to the servicemen? Are we spotted it?
Stealing from the troops.
Yeah. This could be like a Robin Hood style crime here.
Stealing from the automatic machines to give to the servicemen.
Yeah, maybe.
And ladies, I presume, as well.
There was the warning to dog owners in Morown, who were told about those. I like this. The police have been told that a number of dogs are wandering about the district without proper control. I love the idea of people going out, like 1940s Morown. Somebody's going off to work and there's just dogs walking up and down the pavement, like, good evening.
Casey, anything catch your eye in the way of advertising?
There's obviously, my eyes go to the top left corner every week, but it's not the Sefton, but it is beer at its best.
Clinches.
Yeah, clinches.
There we go.
Homebrew.
Was it homebrew at night, next day, merry and bright?
I love it.
Trying to suggest you wouldn't get a hangover if you drunk it. I think that's a pretty bold claim, isn't it?
Yeah. That's about what? Well, about 70 years before Lidl came up with that. Was it Lidl who did the champagne?
I can't remember. The hangover-free champagne.
Yeah, hangover-free Prosecco was actually.
It does ring a bell, actually, yeah.
What about this one? So, wanted to buy any number of good snared rabbits.
Yes, yeah, so they're encouraging people to go out rabbit coursing, I believe is the term.
Oh, that's the correct verb.
It's Higgins of Douglas and Ramsey.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Someone's doing well. Shops in Douglas and Ramsey.
the other adverts... RC Canes is quite funny.
Okay, go
it's
on.
Great for some, just the word great. And then keep faith with the public. Sale positively ends tomorrow.
Save while you spend. I love that. That's
hilarious.
Amazing. That's like a sort of thing that you get now, wouldn't it? You'd be going around a supermarket and they'd be going, save while you spend.
But I also love the fact that at no point does it say what it sells.
No idea. I'd probably go for the element of surprise.
We're selling the element of surprise.
A mystery box. It could be an unusable envelope stuffing machine.
Could be.
It could be a slightly dusty television. You know, this is the things that could end up in RC Canes could be selling. I noticed you've highlighted something else, Sam. It was about the photographs.
Yeah, this is just... So, we do graduation and wedding pictures, of course.
We do, yeah. So, we still bring them free of charge.
Yeah, you can send them into the news desk. Just drop an email and...
with some details.
Yeah.
And your phone number. Yeah.
So we can ring you in case we need some more detail. Yeah. But what I love about this is it's photographs of Manxman serving in the forces will be welcome to reproduction in the Examiner. All photographs will be returned, and where necessary, we will attend to censorship...
It's easy for you to say. Censorship restrictions. that's quite interesting. So they probably have to, like, if they were maybe in a certain place in the world, they maybe have to black out the background so you can identify where they were. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, that was a very good front page. So that was the Ironman Examiner of Douglas? Friday, February the 2nd. I don't know why they've stuck Douglas in the front of that. 1940. Yeah, we'll stick a picture of it, of course, on our socials at IOM News Podcast. Casey, finishing off this week with Yessa Training, the feature that's sweeping a nation. In recent weeks, you've talked to us about Silverdale.
Yes.
We swapped nostalgic memories, didn't we?
We did.
We've talked about, what was the dead hen ceremony in Colby?
Yeah, the dead... I can't remember what that was actually called. We're calling it the dead hen.
I'm kicking myself now, because we had two Colby footballers in today on the Max Football Podcast, and we didn't ask them about that. Because apparently it happens at four... Did someone tell us?
It was Sam the last time he...
Yeah, that's where we had the pictures taken. We've got some in the system.
Right, okay. Well, next time I'm in, I will make sure. But this week, we're talking about internment, aren't we?
Yes. I don't know what I was thinking of this week. Maybe I'd just seen the front page and
thought... Well, you said you'd had a long week.
I've had a long week. But so, on the Culture Vanham website, there is this link to this app that they've made, I think with a few other partners, but you can select like different areas of the Isle of Man to learn about different characters. But today, I hadn't seen it before, but there is a section called Oddities.
Right.
So
I spent
a lot of the afternoon reading the Oddities, which, so one of them was this about the Peveril internment camp at Peel that just said, in World War II, the Peveril internment camp at Peel held the foreign and British fascists. During a riot, they threw toilet seats at guards.
Ooh. Oh.
So I read that and I was like, I want to know more about this. Yeah. So I continued delving into this. So for a little background, because Sam did say he wanted a place this week.
He requested a place.
So it was in operation from July 1940 to May 1945.
So it wouldn't have actually been in operation by that front page, because that was February 1940.
Yes, so it was a few months before then, yeah. It held political detainees who were being held under Section 18B of the Defence Regulations Act.
I remember it well.
Sam's been detained a few times under that. Yeah.
So it gives, it enables the British government to detain anyone they consider to be a danger to national security. It's very
ticking
much
a lot of boxes.
Detain
here,
now, ask questions later.
Right.
So that's how it was. The majority were British Union of Fascists members. And IRA members.
I picked a bad day to wear a black shirt.
And Italian fascists, and there was also some Dutch and German refugees who were in the camp too. But that got me reading about the escape.
Okay.
Because there was a successful escape somewhat. Three detainees escaped one evening, and they weren't captured until 3 days later when they were found trying to make their way over to Ireland in a boat.
Right.
I have a feeling...
Do you know them?
That we have covered that.
Yeah, we have.
There was a front page, wasn't it? They were found...
Were they found in a barn or something? In Knock Rushing or something?
There were a couple of escapes.
There were a few escapes, yeah. But this one, they...
Because they were starving, weren't they? They said they didn't have any food or something. I think they were found...
Oh, no, that might be a different one. Yeah, because... There was a couple who handed themselves in saying they were hungry.
Yeah.
Because in this one, they... Because of the restrictions on motors on boats and things during the wartime, they... stole some oars and were paddling slowly over to Ireland, but they got picked up relatively early.
Yeah. I love the idea that they got down there, there was a motor on the boat, and they went, no, don't, there's regulations.
I think they were taken off the boats rather than...
I'd hope so.
Rather than it's just a, no, we'll not use them. But they, so they got caught, they found out their route out was, basically there was a place, a staircase that didn't have barbed wire around it. So they'd made a trap door that went into a tunnel that went into a house across the road from there. And it was only discovered when a man like nearly put his foot through the grass walking up the steps a few days later. But so
did he turn his ankle? I can imagine he would have turned his ankle. Oh, you can imagine. I bet it hurt for a few days, that.
But after the escapees were captured again, they were put in prison in Douglas, and that's what resulted in riots back at the internment camp. So that's when you had like 200 internees basically throwing everything they could pick up at guards, which I guess is where the toilet seats came from.
Yeah,
so were they throwing... They were angry that they hadn't been put back into the internment camp, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there were lots of rumours spreading as well, like, you know, they're being starved somewhere and this. And so it all escalated. There was a 6-hour riot.
Wowzers.
And it ended with the detainees having to clean up after the riots.
Aww.
That's so thanks.
But then I thought I did find a nice one for the end.
Okay.
Just something more...
And finally...
More upbeat, yeah. So, the Castle Arms is said to have got its Glupart nickname, as women said their men stayed in there so long, they must be stuck to the place.
That's... I thought it was something
so
like that.
So cool.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know that. Did you know that, Sam?
No.
I actually thought Sam wouldn't mind a Castle Town fact if it was to do with a pub.
That's true. Of course, this week I've seen the end of the ship pub. It's, That's been
sailed off.
Gotta be careful how you say that.
Yeah.
Jessica. But yes, that's the end of it. It's been converted into a house, isn't it? So,
and it's quite a luxurious house. It was with a cinema room, if I read your report correctly. So, many a time spent in the ship. It's a shame that's another one departed. But I did read this week...
Find himself legless.
Hey! that on the, I think across Britain as a whole, pubs seem to be having a bit of a revival. More people are going out again now.
Well, that's good. That's so, good news.
Who knows? We might be. But we've got some maybe some news about the bath and bottles soon.
We might do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't say too much.
A espresso martini's coming back.
I can't say too much because I really don't know. But I'm due to meet with Phil Taylor, so.
Not the doctor,
not
the power.
I've checked.
Yeah. So maybe next week we maybe have an update on that?
Not next week, the week after. So I'm a bit nervous because, like, if maybe, you know, rivals get a hold of this.
They won't be listening to this crap.
That's a point. We have to be wary of when we actually record this next week because she's off on all this. She's not here.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, bye. Well, this is off record chat. Right, much coming up, Jess? You off next week?
I am off next week, but I've got a few things in store. So just obviously the public opinion. Mm-hmm. This time we were asking about heritage railways and when was the last time you ever went on a horse tram or the Manx Electric Railway?
And what a bit of interesting debate caused by that?
Everyone was kind of saying the same. Nobody really goes on them, and we met a guy who went on the steam train for the first time. I think he was like in his 50s, and yeah, so a lot of people don't do it because you've got cars, haven't you? So
my 15,000 word essay was rejected by the examiner actually.
And also everyone was saying how good the steam train like dinners are,
yeah,
as well,
the pie
and the gin nights,
yeah okay,
very important.
Katie, much coming up next week in the world of distribution?
There is. I'm actually really excited next week because me and producer Emma are going on a road trip to Sulby to visit one of our favourite retailers who's retiring. So we're going to take him a little present.
So that's Sulby Stores, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
When does it officially close?
March. That's right. If it's not bought, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have a whip round.
Do you want to buy all of our stores?
I think
it'd
be quite
cool.
I'll see you a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
A nice little
hub.
Nice little hub for the community.
Yeah.
I could see you in your jumper. You get like
get an apron.
You go old school. You'd either have the Granville apron or a big like.
I would wear a tie every day as well. Or
like a big sign.
I'd have an array of hammers just in case. I'd be hardware stroke news. It would be like, oh, great.
Yeah, because you do remind me of the guy Al. From
Home Improvement.
Yes!
I hope that has been said before.
I think it's my husky exterior. More flannel.
Yeah.
And have a neighbour I never see.
Yes.
Oh no, that was Tim.
That's Tim. With Wilson. Next door.
Wilson. Yeah. What's coming up next week, Sam? Sounds like you're sort of defending the home fires if Jess is away.
Yeah, it's going to be a long week.
It's because Sam's going to go out into the public and speak to them. And
oh, you're doing the Vox Pop next week?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Have you decided where you're going so we can warn people?
Do not approach us, man.
We don't take naturally to each other.
You and people.
Yes. You may have experienced that yesterday when your child came in. I went, hello, child.
Yes, so I came in yesterday. I just thought you were being very formal with me.
I was just like, child. I got that. And there's loads of stuff. Planning stories, a lot.
Oh, so it's not a week goes by without planning.
Hopefully, we'll have an update from Jonathan about if he's in Thailand or if he's back.
Well, I'm worried if Jess is going on holiday, just to rub the salt in the wounds to poor Jonathan. Look at me, I can travel freely wherever I want. Who's going to take up the story there?
Well, I'm going to cover as much as I can now before I go, and then somebody will possibly have to take
like
over.
We all
maybe
look
Sam,
to Sam.
Maybe Sam. Sam's there like, no.
Sam can be our Jonathan correspondent. Right, that's it for this week. If you do want to get in touch throughout the week, we are, of course, on social media, on Instagram and Twitter. Please look up IOM News Podcast, or just use the hashtag AlmostLiveFromNigel. Does anyone checking that hashtag? No, so it's probably not worth using it. If you are interested in being peaked in any of this week's stories, please do look onto our digital editions. Are we still doing the digital editions subscription offer?
Price freeze. Woohoo!
That was your yes.
So, briefly explain that, Katie.
27% off the newspapers over the year if you subscribe online. So that works out about 80 pence per edition rather than £1.10.
So you can do that online at iomtoday.co.im and click on the digital editions tab.
Yeah.
Of course, if you have a postcard burning a hole in your pocket and you do want to send it in, please do to IOM News Podcast, IOM Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, IOM1, 5ED, and we'll quite happily read the contents next week. Sometimes we don't even read it before we come on air, do we? So you could quite literally say anything you want.
But don't.
But don't. Yeah. Thanks, Jess. Right, until next week.
Bye for now.